Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
That song, I'm a Child of God, I just really feel the presence of Father God here, just brooding over us. His presence, just saying, you're my child. Whatever you've got to give over, it's a safe place. It's a safe place with a father to run to. It's a safe place to give the feelings to, that the worries to. It's a safe place. I just saw in worship that Jesus is at the right hand of God, seated on the throne. And we're seated with him in heavenly places. And when we worship, that's where we've got to go. We've got to see ourselves seated in heavenly places. We're spirit beings first. We're flesh second. We're spirit first. And our souls are just ignited with the love of God and the fire of God. Anthony preached last week about the fire, on a soul on fire. And came in with the flame and the torch. And really, we want to just ignite that in each other and spur each other on to love and good things in God. And, you know, just the amazing place in his presence where he does a work with us. And he refines us and he just speaks to our heart. Good things. He's a good, good father. And so I just really, we'll do offering after. We'll do communion after. Is that okay with everyone? Switch it around a bit. Good, good. Just excited about this morning. I know God's up to something. And I know he's got us all here for a reason. And he's going to, you know, I just was looking at Jacob on the drums and thinking of him starting off as a young child in the worship and in the things of God. And he's like 100%. 100% on the drums. And, just was awesome. In his own realm, in his own place with God, he knows God. He knows God, a little kid. This high knows God. What happens is you grow up and you get uneducated from God. They try and knock it out of you, you know, like when you go to school. They teach you all the other stuff. So God is a good, good God. And I was reminded when I was looking at Jacob of David. And all David was known as was the sandwich boy, the sandwich delivery boy. But in God, he was much, much more than that. You are much, much more than what you think you are. Amen. And he became a conqueror. He conquered giants, a giant slayer from a sandwich delivery boy. How amazing is that? Radical. And then he was playing on his harp, just an instrument he learnt out while he was minding the sheep, playing on the harp, and it soothed the manic influenced person in Saul. And it soothed him. It ministered to him. It brought healing to his mind whenever he played. Great gift. Whatever's in your hand to do, there's something. There's something. There's always something. And I just love David's heart when he worshipped, when the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, came back into the city. And he worshipped abandonedly, crazily, foolishly worshipped. And that's freedom, where you get into your own freedom in God and you just find that place where your soul's on fire, you're just going for it. And so this morning we're going to follow up on the armour of God. And I've asked a few people to share testimony because I think the more we preach in church and then we go out the door, half the time, I don't know, it's like a hole in your pocket. the words, they just sometimes you're like, what was it they said or whatever. Maybe you're really good and you write it down, I don't know. Maybe your memory's brilliant, like some people's, not mine. I think it's really good when we're getting the preaching to begin to share the impact and the revelation it's having on your heart, not just the religious kind of all preach, preach, preach. It's got to have an activation in your heart. So I really love to see that people are getting something in the sense of and sharing it with each other. So I'm asking Josiah, would he jump up and share with us just a revelation on his righteousness, his walking God, something that means a lot to him. Thanks, Joe.
No worries. Hey, everybody. So Belinda asked me a couple of weeks ago to do this, and so I was thinking a bit about it. I have grown up in a Christian household, as many of you would probably guess. Grown up in a Christian household, been a Christian all my life, but didn't really know God spiritually. So, you know, I always believed there was a God, and you know, I went to a Christian school, so I knew that, you know, there was a God, and we learn about it every day. But I used to get bullied a lot, so I used to react really, really badly. So I used to be like, oh, you know, like these people just like they don't care about me, like this God, like, you know, I'm not being protected, like the bullies are still going and all that. And I thought that for years through a lot of my schooling until I got to about high school and I started going to a youth group. And I used to be a victim of acceptance, you could call it that. So I used to want to be accepted all the time, and you know, I'd wear what the other kids wore and I'd try and do what the other kids did just so I'd fit in. And you know, that never works, and we all know that. So I went to a youth group, and you know, I used to have my mate. I had one really good mate, Jared, actually, who is a still good mate of mine. I see him quite often. But he once said to me at school, he was like, you know, be yourself because everyone else is taken. And at the time I was just like, oh, I don't know what that means. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But it struck me when I went to youth group. And the first night I went to youth group, you know, I was sort of just like, oh, you know, I was just over it. Like, I just hated people. I just hated bullies. And I was like, you know, why am I getting bullied? No one else is. That's how I thought. And the first message I heard when I went to youth group was that Jesus died for me. And I had heard it plenty of times before. But when you have a need, that's when it sticks out to you. You know, and I needed to hear that at the time. And yeah, and I heard that, you know, Jesus died for me. And you know, I had a friend say to me, you know what, like the world might tell you you're worthless, but God says you're worth it. And yeah, it's something that I sort of live by now. And I try and, you know, I hate seeing kids like that. And I always try and get around young guys if they tell me that. Like when I was doing a lot of youth ministry stuff and, you know, kids would be like, oh yeah, you know, I get bullied at school. And I just share that because it's like the world doesn't define you. God defines you, and you know what he says you are is what you are, and he never says a bad word. God loves you despite your dirt. It doesn't matter. Like, none of us are perfect. I mean, I'm pretty close, but I'm not. But yeah, so yeah, just leave you with that. You know, you're all awesome, and never think lowly of yourself.
Yeah. Heard this preacher say, don't be an echo, be a voice. So yeah, you are the best you. Megan, get you to come up, sweetie. Yeah. This is good fun, hey? This is church. Power of testimony.
I actually forgot all about this, that I was going to do it until this morning when I saw Belinda. So I've just got a few things that God's been speaking to me about over the last few weeks anyway. And it's, Belinda mentioned it was about our righteousness, but it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness that is in me, because I'm way down there. There's no, nah. So it's all in him. And he melted my heart the other day. Like, I was actually in worship and he's like, melting your heart. And then for the rest of the week, I just cried every time I watched TV over the most pathetic things. But today, just sitting up there, I realised he melted my heart because then he could join his heart into mine. Like, he melted them together. So we blended. So we're kind of blended. And he's also told me that It's this is what he said a couple of weeks ago. It's not about what I can do for him, but what he can do through me. So I'm standing up here now as a vessel. Like, that's all I am. And he's also showing me, like, to become a vessel for him is to open my heart, to submit, surrender, trust, and humility. Like, he also showed me that because I drive a really old car and I wear secondhand clothes and stuff, and so I always feel a bit less than everyone else. Like, I see everyone in their new cars and I get really jealous. No names. But he told me, he said, my treasure isn't here on earth. Like, I think I'm meant to be a DAG. Like, I think this is who I'm meant to be. And so he showed me, as soon as I realised my treasure wasn't here on earth, that it was in heaven, I just went, oh, wow, everything just got wiped away. Like, I was just like, this is me. This is it. This is who I am. And he also showed me as well that there's like a nature. We just use the word nature. In the world, I can't change anything. Like, if something happens to my children, I can't change the circumstance. Like, and he showed me, like, of course you can pray and you pray him into the circumstance, but stuff happens and I have no control over it. Like, you know, and it's in the world because the world's full of sin. It's not because God isn't here. It's because the world is just such an imperfect, dark, yucky place. And so realizing that I actually, like, couldn't change anything, but all I could do was just, like, go through life and then just pray him into all the circumstances, that really gave me some more freedom as well. So he's just been setting me free for the last few weeks. And, yeah, so I can't change things in the world, but I know who can, and he lives in me. So, like, even just singing that song about Jesus is the light of the world, but when I'm his vessel, his light shines out. And so, and his hope can come out too. I don't know how, but it does. And so I just love Jesus and just want him to live in me, and I just want to be his vessel, and that's it. Thanks, bye.
Really brilliant. Awesome.
Wow.
This girl was never wanting to get up on the mic, and look at her go. So good. You break through, and then when you break through, you don't look back. So that's what it's all about. Yeah. And is there anyone else that wants to share a testimony before I press on? I've got two. If I've got three, I'll come down to you. Start with Robin.
God helped me conquer a fear that I've been holding back on this week. It was driving a certain route on the way home from Budgioi. But greater is he that's in me in the world. And this week I went out there, not by myself, with Jesus, because he's always with us. It's us who moves. And we worked the new route, and it went well. Amen. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Robin.
It's easier to breathe when you're standing up. especially if you got in a bit in front. But anyway, you were talking about the actual the armour. I was very blessed almost 20 years ago to go to a prayer ministry that I went to, and one of the teachings of that, every time you go back they still reteach it to you, was spiritual warfare and putting on the full armour of God. And how they taught it was to actually pray that on every day, not that you ever take it off, it's always there, it's always there to be used. But what that does, that sets your mind for, it lines you up with what God wants. And, you know, you do that, you pray that, that doesn't mean you get a flash from God to know what you're doing that day. You still walk around pulling your hair out going, Lord, what am I meant to be doing? I don't know. But it does two things. One, you're giving him the authority. You're saying, yes, I'm putting on this spiritual armor, and you're surrendering yourself to God for that day. The second thing is that you're remembering what that is and how it works. All those pieces and how they connect. I've found since that happened, I was able to overcome a number of things. One of the things that was huge in my life back in those days was pornography. It was a big problem. Never used to tell anybody about it and stuff. And I was just really blessed. Spiritual mentor mentioned, go along there, made all the difference in the world. Just went for like two-day camp, three-day camps. And I used to keep going back because I just used to gain so much ground from that teaching. And that changed my family life as well. Made all the difference. Set the grounding for my kids and my life and all the best. So it's just been an ongoing process that people think it's going to be long and drawn out. In the car, driving to school, or just where you come before God, you pray for the fruits of the Spirit, and then you just say, "Well, I put on my armor of God," and you just go through one by one by one. And each time you'll get a confirmation on, "Oh, yeah, I really got to hand out," like put on the helmet, and then, okay, so I'm covering my mind, we're going to hand that over. And you will get, you'll take ground every day, you'll take ground every week, and you'll just be so blessed when you look back at what God's been able to do just because you've done what he's asked you to do. Thank you.
Julie, come into the church out the back here.
Those of you that are on the prayer chain will already know this. Those that aren't won't. On Tuesday night, I had a car accident and wrote the car off, but I walked away. So God's protection is awesome. I was able to walk away from it unscathed. Car's not, but and all week, God's just kept being beside me, and I've tried to keep as close as I can to God. And a very wise lady said to me, "Let go and let God, because he can do all things." I'm just thankful. Pete's thankful that he's not burying me, because to look at the car, it could have been a whole lot worse. The airbags didn't engage, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So God's protection is awesome.
It's a miracle to be able to walk away from that accident the way Julie has. It's definitely a miracle. We don't overlook these things. We give glory to God for these things. It's no small thing that she's able to walk in here this morning and not in hospital somewhere. So, I'm going to get into my message. Heath was talking a bit more about it too, the armour, how it's not just a mental thing, putting on the armour. And like, I got my boots out this morning and I put a bit of boot polish on. I haven't done that in years, probably since high school. and so I put my boots on. So, you know, I've got them on. And you get your armour on, your helmet, your breastplate, your belt, and all of those things, and you go out the door. But even a soldier that's got all of his armour on can still be overpowered by the enemy. So it's not just about mentally putting the armour on. There's something more. And the something more is about the application of it to your life. It is about getting the revelation that you're getting, Megan, and getting set free, coming into the truth. And it's as we, these things become an actual, see, I believe it's about the release of the power of these things. It's about being able to go out there and overcome, knowing your skill, knowing your armour, knowing your righteousness, having an understanding of your righteousness. Philemon, which is, I'll steal Anthony's, one of Anthony's favourite scriptures is Philemon. Chapter 1, because there's only one. It's a really great scripture that pulls this out. Hang on, I've got to go back. I've got little bookmarks in here, but it's disappeared on me. I'm just trying to find a white book, but they've slipped down. Okay, back here. No, that's Philippians. Sorry. No, it's back here. There you are. Philemon 1, verse 6. Oh, no, I'll go before. Verse 4. I thank my God. This is Paul speaking to Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So what is in me is I've been made righteous. What is in me, I have my mind fixed on my faith in Christ, and that won't be shaken. So it's having the understanding and the acknowledgement of every good thing. In, as far as the armour goes, I've got the word of God that speaks to me and guides me and a lamp to my feet. A scripture can just come to you at any moment and just be the very thing you need in that given moment. So it's alive and active. So wearing the armour is, and Shane and I were talking this morning, Shane's learning the word and reading the word, and he writes the word out so he gets the understanding of it, because it just sounds like a lot of words when you're first stepping out. But the more and more you read and dig and get into it, it becomes a clearer picture all the time. So you get, he's getting understanding of the word in his life. He's pursuing the word. So our righteousness is not something that we do. We can't earn it, can't be any more righteous than what you are. It's not your works, but it's your standing. Jesus Christ has done it. He's made us righteous. He made us righteous at the cross. But there is, when I search the scriptures, there is a response to it. There's a response to the offer of salvation. There's a response to activating your faith. Not just a hearer, but a doer. There's a response to things. And as I was reading in the scriptures, I was coming across scriptures that talk about pursue righteousness. Where did I open my notes and see if I can follow it? That there is a pursuit of righteousness. Where did I write that? Notes everywhere. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we're to seek his righteousness, we're to pursue his righteousness. So there's a response on our behalf to pursue and seek after these things. So I'll just read to you here. Just I was writing down my thoughts so I stay on track a little bit. Faith is the belief that responds with action motivated from within. So it's not what we get from without, it's what flows from within. So righteousness is not of me getting it or earning it or being a better person. It's about having righteousness and it flowing out through you by revelation knowledge of who you are as a child, as a saint. That's what it, where it comes from. And it doesn't come from being a set of rules and regulations, because Paul talks about that in Galatians, having been set free, and in Romans, to no longer walk after those things. But it's not a set of rules and regulations. It's not confinement. It's not conformity. You must conform, you must conform. It's more an action of love that compels us to want to be pleasing to God, that compels us to want to love one another. It's a response from within our heart. So if we can just catch that, righteousness is voluntary. It's not forced. It's not demanded. It comes from God. It's his righteousness. And he imparts it into us. And then we, out of love, give back to God and just love God, love others with that same love that he's loved us. Okay. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not an outward organization or the visible church or a movement. It's not even a mission field. You've got the, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, all the people. You all know that, maybe. It's not a building. The kingdom of God is something that is within us. It's not worldly goods. It's not material things. It's not medals, gold medals or anything, or properties, the car you drive, or how popular you are, as Joey shared. The kingdom of God is inside of you, and it flows through. So, I love this scripture in Proverbs 4. There's a path of righteousness. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. But this one in Proverbs 4 is a father talking to his son. Hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have instructed you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, for your path will be clear and open. This is instruction. Word says it's proof and fit for instruction for life. I didn't have a dad. I had a stepdad. Didn't go down well. Wasn't a good time. Wasn't a happy memory. But God has instructed me. I found this Bible when I was about, not this Bible, but my first Bible, when I was 12, and I gave my heart to the Lord. I wasn't churched. I wasn't in a religious background at all. But he found me. And I found, as the hymn goes, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me before I knew him. He drew me with cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. It's his love that he seeks us and finds us, and then we're just compelled to love him back. So there's a path, and he's instructing. So this thing, if you've never had a good dad, there's a good dad being represented here in the Word, okay? And there's, you know, Bible school, or there's home groups or people that can help you with it. Led you in upright paths. Take hold of instruction. Actively seek it. Grip it firmly and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not go the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For the wicked cannot sleep unless they do evil. That's a description of unrighteousness. And they are, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, the righteous, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. That's awesome. And healing, keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That is just the most beautiful scripture. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. It's so true. Where our heart goes, our head follows. And, you know, God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have wellsprings of life flowing from here, then affecting our brain and affecting our actions. He wants us to be whole and healthy and well. He wants us to be whole. And there's so much brokenness in the world, and there's so much wrong stuff that happens. But God can make you whole. He can take what's been broken and he can make it whole. When I think of righteousness, we were talking yesterday about the prostitute that was dragged out and exposed in front of the crowd. The humiliation, the horror of what was about to come upon her. And Jesus come and he restored her. He said, he who is just could have accused her. He could have prosecuted her. He could have given her a guilty sentence. He was the only right person there that could. But he did it in such a way that he didn't even say anything. He just wrote in the ground and they scattered. They scattered like sheep. You know, they ran, because whatever it was that Jesus wrote spoke to their heart and convicted them in their heart that they were unrighteous. They were worthy of judgment and punishment themselves, so they couldn't throw the first stone. But Jesus clothed her shame. He covered her and he set her free and he released her. He brought reconciliation to her. He brought restoration. He gave her the robes of righteousness so she could walk upright. I believe that woman changed. I believe from that day on, because of the mercy and kindness that was shown, her life was changed. It says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And when someone who deserves judgment is given mercy, it just changes you, changes your life. So powerful. When I think of Adam and Eve in the garden and they fell, they were tempted and they fell, what did God do? He came and found them and he covered them. He covered them, made a sacrifice, made covenant, covered them. The prodigal son left home in the lowest of low, in the pit with the pigs, comes back to his father's house just to be a servant, you know, and the father runs, gets the ring, gets the robes of righteousness, and kills the fatted calf. He covers him. It's beautiful. Our God is so beautiful. So that's righteousness. That's what is given to us, righteousness, right standing with God. And so now we respond to that. We have a response. And when we respond to the words of God, when we respond by action, there's a release. There's an impartation. Something happens. A life inside of you. That says we're new creations. But we're being changed from glory to glory. The light ever brighter to the full light of day. We are his sons and daughters. We are the light of the world. And we're being changed. But when these things, the truth of God and the word of God, and these things come alive in us, it's transformational to us and to the world around us. So I'm going to read from the Message, because this is really awesome. Philippians 3. You know, think of that Olympic torch. Think of Anthony's boxes from last week if you were here. Oh, sorry. you've just been healed from that. Sorry. Okay, focus on the goal. In 3 verse 12, I'm not saying that I've got this all together. Somebody else said that this morning. That I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal. Where have you got your eye? Is there a goal? Is there something you're reaching for? Is there a dream that's been broken? But is there some other dream buried in your heart that you can reach for? Good question. I have my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and I'm running and I'm not turning back. So good. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll still see it. Amen. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. Keep track. Get alongside them. Cheer them on. Say, go, buddy. Okay, and another scripture, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And I know many here today do have dreams and are pressing in. Lovely Rosa, doing a great work there, something on your heart, and doing it with all your heart. Press in with his energy. Keep running the race. We cheer you on what you're doing with Central Coast Autism. We are behind you. What else did I want to finish with? Anything? I hope something I have said this morning is just massaging the message of righteousness into our heart, activating us, releasing something in you today. I pray that as you leave today, there will be, I don't know, maybe a light come on, or just an encouragement and exhortation to keep going. I pray that you'd be inspired today in the Lord. The reign of Christ, the kingdom reign of Christ, flows in and through the soul of man. And we have this great ministry, which I will read this one more scripture, and then I had heaps more, but I'm not going to. I had Romans, the law of love, beautiful scripture in there in 14. No, it's Corinthians, that's right. See, all my little thingies have slipped down. Do you know what I've got to do next time, don't you? I'll get the sticky ones. So I've learnt something this morning. Post-its. Who made them made a lot of money? Post-its. See, it was a great idea. All right, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:21. See, I'm not perfect at this, am I? Is that okay? Maybe it encourages you to come up and have a go if I'm not so perfect. Okay. I love Corinthians. Now then, I've got to read from before, I think. Yep. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or holding their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A lot of big words in there, but I think you get the general gist of it. I've struggled for years with big words like that. But we're just going to take up communion together now. So I'm going to ask the helpers to help. I think the main thing I guess I want to point out is God is not a demanding God. He's not demanding us to be perfect. He loves us just as we are. And now it's up to us to have a response to all of his goodness towards us. How do you want to respond when someone does something for you so out of the blue and you're just taken back by what they've done and you're just like, oh, man, that was so good of you to do that, you know. So, but Jesus has done the ultimate. When he sat around with the disciples and he broke the bread and he took the cup after they'd had a meal. They'd had a meal together. They probably just sitting around chatting together, just having conversation. I wanted this morning to be just like conversation, just like what Jesus did with his disciples, just sat around and had a meal, had conversation. And then he came to the important part, which was about his death and resurrection. And he wanted dearly wanted to have this final moment before the cross. And he wanted to impart something. Righteousness. God's plan from the beginning to restore us. And so that's why we're having communion at the end today, because I just felt like it's just a family, just having a meal, having a chat, sharing testimonies, being real. And we're just going to take and eat together the fellowship of the Lord. This is communion. This is fellowship. This is what we desire. And our desire is to just love him more. And, you know, if you just continue walking in love, you'll get there. You won't get everything right. But love is the real a guideline. And it's, yeah, faith and love work together. So I'll just hold on for a second. Thanks for the kids out in Kids Church. Awesome kids. Well, Jesus, we just want to say thank you for our righteousness would never cut it, but your righteousness does. And you've clothed us with robes of righteousness. You've given us all that we need for life and godliness. You've given us instruction. You've set us free from the law, and you've compelled us by love. And Jesus, we just want to share the bread together today as a family in love and connection with you. We want to say thank you, Jesus, for the ultimate sacrifice and that you followed through. You were committed. You were committed to the end. You had a goal in mind. You set your eyes and you completed it for us. And we just want to say thank you so much, Jesus. And I just pray that you would continue to complete the work you've begun in us here in Wyong and in us, in our families, with our husbands and wives, with our brothers and sisters here in, on the coast, in church or outside of church. Help us to have the ministry of reconciliation and have a loving heart towards our fellow brothers and sisters, fellow non-brothers and sisters, Lord God. Let us have that same outreaching heart that you had to the lost and to the needy and to the hurt. So we take the bread and we thank you for all that you've done and all you're still to do. Amen. And we thank you for the symbol of the blood, which represents the removal of sin, past, present, future, the removal of sin. And now all we have is just the service of love to one another and to you, God. So we thank you for this cleansing. We thank you for fresh beginnings. We thank you for new starts. We thank you for new dreams and new hopes in this place. We thank you, Jesus, that you have set us free so that we can be truly free. We can be the people that are little lights for you and set our soul on fire. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church. Meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.